There are two birding dates I celebrate every year. I call March 2nd Chickadee Day because on March 2nd, 1975, I saw my first black-capped chickadee, the first bird on my life list, at Baker Woodlot on the Michigan State University campus. By May 11th, I had my life list up to 30 species, which seemed like an awful lot at the time. And on that morning, what I now commemorate as Warbler Day, I encountered wave after wave of warbler flocks on the Red Cedar Woodlot on campus and managed to identify four of them. I'd read the warbler section in my Peterson and Golden guides over and over. I decided that I'd only count a warbler on my life list when I could see every field mark as I kept one individual in sight. Warblers are so animated, flitting here and there in their endless quest for insects, that this was harder than I'd anticipated. My first was relatively easy, the black and white warbler. It was easy to see that my bird had only black and white plumage without a trace of yellow or buffy. The only other warbler with simple black and white plumage is the spring male black pole warbler, but it has yellow on both the bill and feet. Voila, my life list was at 31, and I teased out my first warbler. My second took longer to figure out, plus a stroke of luck. Nashville warblers have a gray face with a perfect circle of white feathers around the eye, olive gray back and wings, and a pure yellow underside from the throat to the undertail coverts. But my field guide mentioned that male Nashville warblers have a chestnut cap that they can hide or expose as they choose, even trickier for me to see than the ruby feathers of a ruby-crowned kinglet. Fortunately, while I struggled to keep my first Nashville warbler in view, he raised the orange crown and my life list was suddenly at 32. I vividly remember figuring out number 33, and also the one warbler I really did identify that day, though I didn't count it because it wasn't still in view when I figured it out. In studying my field guides, I knew I had to concentrate on the presence or absence of an eye ring or eye line and of wing bars, as well as noticing whether the breast was streaked and where any yellow might be. That morning, suddenly I noticed a warbler sitting conspicuously on a low, dead branch. It had a brilliant yellow breast, a vivid black necklace with streaks of black running a short way down the breast, a solid slate-blue back, clean white eye rings connected by yellow lores, and no wing bars. I rifled through the pages of my field guide, came to the Canada warbler, which matched every particular, and looked into the same branch to compare the picture with the real thing. Only suddenly, the bird sitting on that very branch, still with the brilliant yellow breast and black necklace with streaks of black, had huge white wing patches, like wing bars gone wild. Instead of eye rings, it had white eye crescents and had a black cheek patch. I rifled through the field guide, found the Magnolia warbler, and the real bird gave me time to compare every feature. So Magnolia warbler was number 33. I didn't encounter a countable Canada warbler until the next spring. The final warbler I identified on Warbler Day had a white belly, rich black throat and sides, white wing bars, and a yellow face, a black-throated green. I'd stayed in the woodlot longer than I'd planned and had to rush to my environmental education class. One guy in there named Dave Catlin was a real birder, and I gushed to him about my experience. Dave seemed almost as thrilled as I was, listening with joy and excitement to every detail. That was wonderfully affirming and made birding into a shared pleasure. Every year on Warbler Day, I think of my first four warblers and of Dave Catlin. I love that my learning about nature also gave me more appreciation for the best of human nature. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.